Well,
it's a lot
in
easier.
My case is I can have perfect sound, but I still have defective ears.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 339, recorded on January 27th, 2014. And welcome to the 339th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 172nd episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
And I am Jordan Lund.
VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So, yeah, Paul still isn't with us, but I'm hoping that he'll be coming back soon. Since, you know, this podcast works best with three, you know.
It does work best with three, I think.
Yeah, although I don't think Paul would enjoy this episode anyway because... You know what Paul likes, and all of this is basically numbers. This is the numbers week. This is your podcast.
This is my week. Yeah,
yeah, this is your week. This is when you get to deck out the spreadsheet and do the numbers.
Math. This time with math.
The math episode. You just did the title of the episode. Anyways, what have you been playing, Jordan?
What have I been playing? Long story short, I had to take apart and reassemble a PlayStation 3 controller due to cat damage. so there was some processed cat food on the controller that had to be removed, and yeah.
Okay.
So that was entertaining. I did get it back together, and I did test it with Killzone 2, and that seems to have worked fine.
At least it was a PlayStation 3 controller. It's not like a PlayStation 4 and an Xbox One controller, you know?
That's
if you had to replace
it,
it's like $20 if you go to GameStop and get one of their controllers.
Used ones, yeah, yeah.
Well, not even a used one, a new GameStop controller, because I think GameStop makes their own controllers. I know
Oh, yeah, but you don't use third-party controllers. Come on.
Oh, I do. I mean, I love I forgot what it's called. It's not Skull Candy. It's something else. You know, those colored ones? I have one that's blue for the Xbox 360, which I use on my PC. I didn't get the one that glows in the dark, though. I hope they make one for the Xbox One. You know, I like those glow-in-the-dark controllers.
It'll be interesting to see what third-party accessories come out for the new system. Mm-hmm. So far, I haven't really seen much of anything.
Well, not until March. Remember, they had that entire thing, remember, about headphones, you know, third-party headphones for, the good headphones for the next gen or current gen, whatever you want to call them, the Xbox One and PS4 systems. You know, right now you're stuck with, the funny thing is I don't use my headset for the Xbox One.
I tried it on, but it's too tiny for my gargantuan head.
Well, you don't have to wear it that way. And it's functional, you know, it's just a functional thing. You know, I mean, the Xbox 360 released with an average headset as well. I mean, it was kind of a stupid sticking point.
The PS4 released with just like a cell phone headset. It's like two wires and you plug it in your ear and then it plugs into the controller.
It's not Bluetooth, is it?
No, it's not Bluetooth. It's wired, but it's like an iPod headset, only not as good.
Yeah. I actually got a new earbuds for my for my iPad and cell phone, you know, that I spent $2 on because I had a $25 gift certificate and a $3 Best Buy rewards certificate. So I got some really good ones. And you know, the funny, these have sort of like a rubbery wire. You know, it's flat and rubbery. You know, have you seen those?
I have seen those. Is it in theory supposed to less tangled?
It's more bouncy, I'll say that. It boings around, you know. On the other hand, you know, it gives me the impression that it's not going to jerk out like, you know, some headphones do. You know, the wires start getting jerked out and they lose their connection. So, yeah, I mean, they're mid-grade. It's not like I bought Beats or anything, you know, or overpriced things like that. But these are more than the $11, earbuds that you might get. Although I will say those are still effective.
You're not ponying up for the Dr. Dre? Come on.
No, if I was going to pony up, it would be for Bose, okay? Bose is where it's at. I want one day to have a Bose speaker system.
Well, you know, I do the podcast with a pair of over-the-ear JVC headsets that were all about $16.
So. I went, by the way, at Best Buy, you know what I saw? I saw a Creative Sound Blaster sound card.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the thing is that now, naturally, of course, this thing allows you to have true surround sound with all the jacks in the back and all that.
I see.
So, you know, the thing is that, you know, every computer has their own sound card. You know, it's not like you need a sound card to have sound anymore. Remember
well,
that?
Well, yeah, it's all built onto the motherboard, and even surround sound is built onto the motherboard. Yeah. Or you just have a digital optical out to a tuner and you're done.
Yeah, but this one is for people who are really serious about surround sound.
I see.
I think it's like 7.1 or something like that, you know. And the thing is, when you have a card that's devoted to sound, you know, a lot of games don't utilize it, but I know which games do, and it's usually the first-person military shooters like Call of Duty and Battlefield, you know, where you really need that spatial sense, you know. But it's interesting to, you know, because it's sort of like a blast from the past to see a sound card being sold.
Yeah, a buddy of mine, actually, his first job when he was in high school was programming for a company called Covox, okay. Who was a Sound Blaster competitor who was crushed as what happened with when, you know, such yeah. is the nature of Sound Blaster.
Well, you know, Sound Blaster also, the guys, you know, there's also Sound Blaster speakers, which basically have the sound card on the speaker, you know. In the speaker, you know, the sound chips in the speaker, so that you get with anything, any kind of thing, any kind of sound device, you get the full, you know, of it. So it's just interesting. And the thing is that, you know, you may not be able to have perfect graphics, but you can always have perfect sound. You know, it's
well,
it's a lot
in
easier.
My case is I can have perfect sound, but I still have defective ears.
Well, no, you know, we're talking about the mechanical, not the biologic.
Right.
Anyways, like I said, this is your kind of episode because it's all. Oh, we haven't started about what you're playing.
Well, I haven't been playing much. I mean, you know, I'm still doing the medical recovery thing and recovering from a death in the family. So I haven't been.
Oh,
I
know.
Been
Robin's
doing much
death
in terms
is like.
But
you see, the death in the family isn't as strong because they resurrected Jason Todd.
No, my grandfather passed away last Saturday.
I know. I'm trying to lighten the mood.
So, yeah. So
come on, Jason Todd, death in the family. Come on, you don't. You have to know that joke.
Yeah, I do.
By the way, the funny thing is that, you know, the old saying used to be that the only people who ever stay dead are Uncle Ben, Jason Todd, and Barry Allen, and all of them have come back.
And Gwen Stacy stayed dead too. Well, except they brought her back for the movies.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying, no, they always joked that those are the three characters that would never come back. You know, they're the ones who would stay dead.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been playing the same old, really. Civilization 5. I've actually started doing a new Dragon Age Origins, simply because I want to tailor this one precisely, since I know everything about it. I want the story the exact way I want it, you know.
So I have one for you, an interesting thing that I saw on Reddit. A guy has started a new site called Xboxy. Have you seen Xboxy?
No.
Xboxy is a website. You go to it from Internet Explorer on your Xbox One, and it is all web-based games that have been tested and known to work with the Xbox One controller.
Oh, okay. You know, I was thinking about this earlier today, and I still think that Microsoft should still, or someone should make a Windows 8 app or an app for the Xbox One, which makes the games compatible, you know, backwards compatible, even if it's not perfect. You know, I mean, if someone else does, you know, there's no downside to that. As a matter of fact, you know, I bet I would buy it if it was like $5, you know, just a, you know, software solution.
To do what again?
To play Xbox 360 games on the Xbox One.
Oh, that won't happen. It's too big of a hardware change.
No, software emulation.
Yeah, but you can't emulate a machine that is just one generation back. The hardware architecture
is
too different.
Why not? They did that with the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One. The original Xbox. What are you talking about?
Well,
it wasn't
that
perfect.
Hardware,
I'm not expecting perfect.
That hardware, they only had to emulate a copper mine software, a copper mine chip. This is they'd have to emulate a whole PowerPC architecture, which is not really feasible.
Well, I still want all in one, you know, because I don't want to have to switch between composite and HD to play my Xbox 360 stuff, because I still play stuff on that.
You know what my solution to that was?
What?
I plugged my PlayStation 3 into the input on the Xbox One.
Yeah, I mean, there's that, but you said there's lag, you know?
In theory, there's lag, but in playing Killzone, I didn't really see it. I thought there might have been lag when I was playing The Wolf Among Us, but it turned out to be operator error.
You see, I have my cable running through that.
I'd rather have that.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next. Hold on one second. Let me pause this.
All right. Recording,
and here we go. Okay, so anyways, we're going to move on to the first item. Go ahead, Jordan.
Microsoft acquires Gears of War IP from Epic. This comes to us from Games Industry International. Microsoft has acquired the Gears of War franchise from Epic Games. Microsoft Studios head Phil Spencer confirmed the news to Games Industry International, saying the deal covers the intellectual property, all existing games and assets, and the rights to continue the franchise in the future. As for who will make the Gears of War games with Epic out of the picture, that task has been entrusted to Microsoft's Vancouver-based Black Tusk Studios under the leadership of the studio's general manager, Hanno Lemke. Spencer called it a, quote, big vote of confidence for not just the studio, but the Vancouver development scene. Microsoft closed its nearby Victoria development studio last month. Future development on the franchise will be led by Rod Ferguson, who was a producer of the first three Gears of War titles. While Ferguson has a long history with Gears of War, his appointment at Black Tusk has to be considered surprising. Just 4 months ago, Take-Two announced that Ferguson was launching a new Bay Area studio to work on a new project for the publisher. Ferguson released a statement on his new appointment saying, quote, I'm extremely excited to be joining Black Tusk Studios to oversee development on the Gears of War franchise. I've been privileged to work on a lot of great games with a lot of great teams, but Gears has to be the most has had the most impact on me professionally and personally. So this really feels like a homecoming. I can't wait to share more with you all soon. Spencer also noted that a Black Tusk teaser trailer shown at E3 was built using Unreal, even though that clip, a man rappelling down the side of a present-day skyscraper before swinging into an open window to clobber a gun-toting guard, looked decidedly unlike Gears of War. Spencer called it a concept piece and not a project that is being shelved as a result of the IP acquisition. Financial details of the acquisition were not disclosed.
You know, this actually gives me a little bit of deja vu because Microsoft did the same thing with Halo, you know?
Yeah.
With Bungie.
Well, Halo and also Project Gotham.
Really? Wait, isn't that Turn 10?
Project Gotham was originally Bizarre Creations.
And the thing is, they haven't done anything with a Project Gotham Racing license.
They haven't, not since Forza. Yeah, yeah.
You know, the annoying thing is that Microsoft also purchased the High Heat Baseball license. And now that Take-Two's bowed out, you know, and your first party baseball games, you know, are allowed, obviously, since Sony's been releasing MLB The Show for years and years, Microsoft doesn't have a game. You know,
right.
And I always felt that the reason why Microsoft didn't make a baseball game was that they were in bed with Take-Two. You know, they wanted to make sure that, you know, Take-Two was very chummy with them. You know, but now that this actually, you know, I think it and Microsoft known that Take-Two was going to bow out, they would have started developing on something.
You would think with Microsoft's close proximity to the Seattle Mariners that they would have worked out some sort of deal or something.
I don't think that has anything to do with anything. I mean, not with a single team. I mean, you know,
that would be their end to the baseball world would be going through the Mariners.
Nothing in the baseball world ever went through the Mariners, not since Ken Griffey left. So, yeah, I mean, the thing is that, you know, I played Gears of War 1, and I think I did play Gears of War 2, but I never really got far in Gears of War 2, and I never bought Gears of War 3. I mean, the license just, I don't know, it just, I don't know why.
I enjoyed all three of them, but it does raise the question of, you know, what about Gears of War Judgment, which was the fourth game that came out? You might not have even been aware that there was a fourth game.
I knew about
game.
Gears of War Judgment. I'm just saying, you know, the IP wasn't as compelling for me, you know?
Right.
But
I thought the first three games were fine. They were a little more challenging than the Halo games, I thought. Particularly some of the arena battles were a little tough. Some of the big boss fight style characters were a little tough.
Couldn't stand General Ram,
yeah, was decidedly difficult. But you know, Gears of War Judgment came out and kind of dropped off the radar almost immediately.
You know, the thing is that Gears of War did introduce a game mode that everybody's aped, and it's not even, you know, and that's Horde mode. People seem to forget that Horde mode started with Gears of War.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's why I'm really looking forward to Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, is that they have a co-op multiplayer Horde mode. I think you can do it single player. I'm not sure. The other thing, by the way, Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare is going to be $40, not $60. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that comes out next month, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, along with Thief. Oh, and there's a lot of... Here's the thing. You know the big brouhaha over Thief, constantly using the F word? Well, they dummied out that word and replaced it with frig. And now it just sounds silly because they keep on saying frig all the time.
Which, you know, in England would mean more or less the same thing.
Yeah, but still. I mean, it's sort of like, what was the word they used in Farscape again? Frel?
I don't know. I never watched Farscape. Okay,
they had something similar in which they replaced that word with Frel or something. You know, it's just...
Battlestar Galactica had frack.
Yeah. Okay. It's just, you know, I mean, I liked in the original Thief games that they came up with words like taffer.
Yeah. You know?
And all these other weird words. Oh, by the way, in Thief, they actually have an option to turn off Garrett's internal monologue. And there's a reason for that. It's really bad writing from what I understand. Really bad.
Why would you want to turn off an internal monologue?
Character tells him, "I want you to go get the key," and Garrett thinks, "I have to get the key." Really, Captain Obvious. I mean, it's bad. That's like Stephen Russell doing the voice, but
it was like the bit with Joe Namath doing the insufferably honest guy on Saturday Night Live years and years and years ago. Joe Montana.
Or Galaxy Quest, you know, her entire job was repeating the computer.
Right.
It's a stupid job, but it's the only job I have, and I'm gonna do it. Anyways, I mean, I presume this would be Gears of War 4.
Well, you know, and like I said, there was a fourth game. So what do you call this one? Do you call it Gears of War 4? Do you go straight to Gears of War 5 and confuse everyone?
Got it. I mean, they're going with Gears of Halo 5 for the Xbox One. Remember, it was originally right. Halo. Now it's Halo 5.
Now it's Halo 5, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a Microsoft property. It's not like, you know, with Square / Eidos, they're trying to get a new audience, and it's been... Deadly Shadows came out in 2004, so it's been 10 years since the last Thief game. So I have an entire computer generation of kids who only know of Thief from tales that the elderly told them, you know.
Well, there was a Thief game on the original Xbox.
Yeah, that was Thief Deadly Shadows. That was in 2004.
Yep.
And you know, it wasn't as good as the first two Thief games. It was pretty capable. But anyways, I mean, like I said, you have an Xbox One now, at least, so that when it comes out, you're not going to miss out.
Well, I wouldn't miss out anyway, because Thief is coming for both platforms.
I'm talking about Gears of War.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So, I mean, are you excited for a new Gears of War game?
I haven't played Judgment. I'm thinking about it because it's $20.
Well, Judgment is basically a prequel. I mean, it's basically how they got Marcus out. You know, and you.
Yeah, it's the story of that blonde douchebag from the original games.
And Cole,
yeah.
you should see the riff tracks of scenes from Gears of War 3. It's hilarious. Anyways, we're gonna move on to the next item. And this one probably makes your ears perk up too. Sony issues invites hinting at slimmest product launch. And this comes to us from Tom's Hardware. Back in the fall, Sony announced a new version of the PS Vita. This new lightweight PSP charges via micro USB and is basically a revision of the PS Vita design. It's a full 20% thinner and cheaper to boot. Unfortunately, when Sony unveiled the device, it was for a Japan-only release, and the company had little in the way of information about an international launch. Fast forward a few months into the new year, and it looks like we may see this new PS Vita after all. Several news outlets received an invitation to a breakfast briefing next Thursday, January 30th, which is in a few days, actually. One day after this podcast is released, actually. Featuring the tag, Play On, the invite reads, following the biggest launch in PlayStation history, join us for an introduction to the slimmest. Well, it's possible Sony is prepping a PS4 Slim. It's unlikely because the PS3 Slim didn't debut until the regular PS3 had been on the market for 3 years. 3 years after the Slim hit the market, Sony gave us the Super Slim. It's doubtful Sony is thinking of thinking PS4 Slim already. So the general consensus is that Sony is finally prepping for the launch of the PS Vita Slim, also known as the PCH 2000, outside of Japan. The invites were sent to both U.S. and European media, including the media in the U.K., so it could be a pretty big launch. So, I know that the PSP 2000 was a big improvement over the original PSP.
Yeah, the PSP 2000 had a much better screen, much better quality control. There weren't the dead pixels on the 2000 that the 1000 had, and it allowed a port for television out, so you could connect it up to your TV.
So, had you seen the Slim Vita that was launched in Japan?
I have seen the Slim Vita that was launched in Japan, and I'm not 100% sold on it. You know, they downgraded the screen from an AMOLED to a regular LCD screen. I think they did do something good with the start and select buttons over on the right hand side. They're now larger and rounder and easier to use. But you know, anything to reduce the price. What Sony really needs to do is a full bore relaunch of the product with the Vita. They need to have more developers on board. They need to have a software relaunch at the same time and treat this as though it were a brand new product launch. Well, and that might end up saving the Vita if they
have Vita exclusives that are not available in the PS4 or PS3. That's
correct.
Save it. You know, they need to have compelling software.
They need to have compelling software. That's correct. And there are a handful of games that are exclusive to the Vita. They just lost one because they've now ported Assassin's Creed Liberation in an HD remix.
Oh yeah,
to the other machines. So that's no longer exclusive.
Xbox One, PS4, PS3, if I remember correctly, and PC.
Yeah. So you know, they do have a couple of interesting games for 2014, but you can't move a new platform on a couple of interesting games.
How was Liberation anyway?
Assassin's Creed Liberation was very good once it was patched. Initially, out of the box, it was completely buggy, and it had a save game crash where it would your screen would freeze while playing, and it would corrupt your save game, rendering it completely useless. So you'd have to start over. You could not have more than one save game per machine, so you couldn't just back it up and restore it. That didn't work. The only way around it was to start over. So for the first 2 months, I could not actually play the game.
Ouch.
I had to wait for them to patch it, and then you could actually play the game. And at that point, it was fine. You know, it's a very good entry into the Assassin's Creed series. It introduces a new play mechanic where you have different costumes, and which costume you're wearing determines what skills and abilities you can access. So, for example, if you're dressed up as a highfalutin lady walking around town, it won't let you climb buildings, you know, little things like that, because your hoop skirt's going to get in the way if you're trying to climb a building or hop a fence. That's just not going to happen.
What about the Aveline character? How is she?
Aveline was an interesting character, born to a slave and raised in a mixed household, raised as a free woman, and it was a good, strong female character. I thought it was very, very much worth playing.
So, now, what you said that you didn't like you didn't like some of what they were doing with this with the Vita Slim, does that mean you're not going to upgrade if they release?
I have no intention of upgrading. I mean, my PS Vita is perfectly usable, so there's no point in going forward. The reason I upgraded from a PSP 1000 to a 2000 was because I wanted the TV out. Which was not available on the 1000. But there's no feature on the Slim Vita that is a must-have feature for somebody who already has the first version.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Jordan.
Sony. Nope. Sorry. I already read that
one. We just did that one. Thank you.
Apple sells record number of iPhones and iPads. This comes to us from Games Industry International. Apple ended 2013 on a high note as the company today announced its quarterly results, revealing it broke a number of records in the 3 months ended December 28th. The quarter saw Apple post its highest quarterly revenues of all time, as well as quarterly records for iPhones sold and iPads sold. For the 3 months, Apple sold 51 million iPhones, up nearly 7% from the year-ago quarter. As for iPads sold, Apple sold 26 million of the popular tablets, up more than 14% year over year. While it didn't set any records, the company's Mac sales were also up, with the 4.8 million computers sold, representing 19% year over year surge. The iPod was the only product line to shrink year over year, as Apple sold just over 6 million of the devices, down more than 52% year over year. All those sales pushed Apple's quarterly sales to an all-time high of $57.6 billion, with a B, up nearly 6% year over year. The company also posted net profits of $13.1 billion, which is flat compared to the year ago quarter.
Yeah. Although the iPod Classic has a 256 gigabyte hard drive, which is wow.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, with more people doing streaming music, they don't need a 256 gig hard drive anymore.
No, so but it's good for movies. I mean,
It's good for movies, but what they're doing is they're going with the iPhone with the cell phone connectivity.
Or an iPod Touch.
Using that as their.
I'd rather have an iPod Touch if I'm going to go that route. I still need to upgrade from the first gen. I mean, not because it's necessarily slow or anything like that, but I just want another iPad that runs on my other account so I don't have to keep on getting the thing. Well, you can't download that because it wasn't downloaded with this account. You know, I don't know why you can't do in-game apps outside of the apps. You know,
I did upgrade my iPad. I bought a Surface.
I know, and we're going to deal with that in a moment. But the thing is that, you know, I have my Windows 8 laptop for my Windows 8 needs. I don't need a Surface.
Right.
I have my Android for the Android apps, and I just need something that's better for the iOS apps so I can have it all covered. God, I'm such a technophile. And a poor technophile, which is even worse. I guess I could bust my credit card again. But someone, you know, the thing is, a friend of mine
is... Don't go into debt for toys.
Well,
don't. Just don't.
Well, the thing is, a friend of mine, I'm hoping that when he gets his iPad Air, he'll give me his old iPad. You know, he said he would, but, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, an iPad 3 is just as good, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, it depends on what the hard drive, because if it's only 16 gigabytes, I'll have to think long and hard about it. Although, if I'm going to keep my old iPad, I can use the old iPad for my music and movies and just use the new iPad if it doesn't have a 64 gigabyte hard drive for all of my apps. Because apps don't take up that much space.
Or you just add some USB storage. Oh, wait.
Well, you know, my Android phone has 16 gigabytes of hard drive space, but I also have a micro SD in it, which adds 64 gigabytes. So
right. I did the same thing on my phone, but on my phone is ancient, so it needed something.
Well, you
needed
know, but
something.
That's the great thing about the micro SD. You just pop it out and put it in a new phone.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Do iPod Touches use that micro?
No.
No, okay.
No, none of the iDevices
that
use
would,
micro
That would
SD.
Have been tempting for me if it could, because then I could have a 128 gigabyte iPod Touch. Then again, that's still not an iPad. Why doesn't Apple allow MicroSD? I mean, that and merge.
Because Apple are control freaks and they don't believe in doing anything that is industry standard. And if I could see Apple coming up with their own memory card format and enabling that to be used.
That's fine.
But they're not going to use any kind of industry standard format.
I don't care. Just so I can upgrade my own, you know, my own memory space. the thing that I just want them to be able to merge iPad, Apple ID accounts, you know, that's where the control freak thing really annoys me.
Have you tried calling Apple support to see if that
was possible? No, they said, well, we're, you know, it's sort of like a rest. Well, you can't do that. Sort of like, nope, sorry. Even the, if you go to the help page, says, can I merge my Apple IDs? Nope.
Big, what you could do is, you know, book an hour.
There was a rumor about doing it back in 2011, 2012 that they were going to do, but they never got around to doing it.
I would book an hour at the Genius Bar and just go down and torment them and see if they can do something. Because they're geniuses, right?
Yeah, but geniuses would say, nope. You know, the thing is that, well, we have to wait for Android sales to go up and up and up and iOS sales to go down and down and down, but that's not happening. So.
No, and there are, you will occasionally see articles from time to time talking about how much Android is dominating the market space, and it is, if you look at the numbers in a certain way, but you have to consider that, you know, the number of Android machines out there is, you know, there's hundreds of them, and there's one iPhone.
But you have to remember this, though, by the way. You know, Apple removed the DRM from music when Amazon was severely undercutting them, you know, with DRM-free music. That's not going to happen here because there's no impetus for them to change that Apple ID thing, you know?
No.
I mean, it's like Sony and PSN stuff, you know? Oh, you want it? Well, you have to repurchase it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item, and this one relates to you, Jordan. Surface and Xbox One hits barrier. Oh, what? Sorry. Tom's Hardware has the weirdest article title here. Surface and Xbox One hits Surface and Xbox One are hits with buyers during the holidays, and this comes from Tom's Hardware. Microsoft reported better-than-expected results for their fiscal second quarter ending December 31st, 2013. The company stated that it pulled in $6.56 billion, up from the $6.38 billion from the same quarter last year. Revenue was also at $24.52 billion, up 14% year-over-year. According to the financial report, Surface revenue more than doubled sequentially, from $400 million the first quarter to $893 million in the second quarter. The Xbox business was rather kind to Microsoft as well, with 3.9 million Xbox One consoles and 3.5 million Xbox 360 consoles sold. That last part can be thanked for that $99 Xbox 360 sale. But the thing I'm really interested in is the Surface, because remember, the Surface was in serious trouble. You know,
the Surface still is in serious trouble. I mean, it's great news that these sales have doubled in this quarter, but, you know, it's like the old Firefly quote, nothing divided by nothing, carry the nothing is nothing.
Well, I'm going to say this, though. One thing that Microsoft does, both for good and for ill, is that when they focus on something, they don't give up.
they keep trying to push it down
your throat. Either it takes a long time for it to go away, like MSN. You know, that stupid chat thing. Is it MSN? What was it called? What was it called again? I don't know. It's burned out of my memory.
MS Chat?
Yeah, or something like that, you know. Or for good, you know, like with the original Xbox, you know. So the thing is that they're going to keep pushing the Surface until it hits. You know, until it's a really
if you look at the numbers, the non-technical people are looking at, you know, 26 million iPads sold versus 2 million Surfaces. And so they're counting the Surface as being a lost cause at this point, even though you and I both know the Surface is not in the same market space as an iPad. The iPad is a casual device. It's not designed for creating content. It's not actually a computer, whereas the Surface is. But they're still saying, there's only 2 million sold. Well, you know, 2 million is better than they had. We'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, but you're enjoying your Surface.
I enjoy my Surface very much, and it replaced two devices. So, I thought that was fantastic.
Which devices? The iPad and what?
My iPad and my netbook. I have not turned on my netbook since I got the Surface.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know what's on my netbook anymore.
Now, they also mentioned that Windows is up, but something that they did not do, they did not specify how many of them were Windows 7 and how many of them were Windows 8.
Well, I thought they'd pretty much stopped selling Windows 7 at this point, although HP just announced, you know, because you demanded it, Windows 7 is back. So there might be a minor resurgence in Windows 7 sales.
Yeah. I'm enjoying Windows 8 on my touchscreen, but the thing is that, you know, I think I use Windows 8 in my work too, and it's okay because I can just, you know, the 8.1 update allows you to quickly get to desktop. And also, right. they have a special upgrade in which when you click on the Microsoft symbol while in desktop, it has the usual Windows 7 options like shutting down, you know.
Right. And I actually replaced that with a thing called Classic Shell. And what Classic Shell does is brings back your full start menu, which rumor has it is going to be returning in Windows 9 sometime next year.
That's cool. I mean, to tell you the truth, I have no problem really with the Metro thing on, you know, for the most part.
Metro really demands a touch interface. It's designed for a touch interface.
But on the other, you know, I didn't have too much problems with it. You know, it just has a learning curve that's a little too steep for what you should have for a desktop, you know, OS, you know.
Well, they've changed things greatly between 8 and 8.1. So, you know, a lot of the goofiness in 8 is gone now, which is good.
So we're going to move on to the next item. Take it away, Jordan. And this one will probably make your ears perk up. Actually, it's related. I think it's related to a story we did last week, isn't it?
I think so. Last week we had the story about Nintendo being forced to rethink their business.
Right. So this is actually a follow-up. So go ahead.
Japanese newspaper says Nintendo is about to unveil its approach to mobile development. This comes to us from Tab Times via Reddit. Nintendo may soon launch game demos and advertising efforts on smartphones and tablets. That's according to the Japanese business paper Nikkei via Dr. Serkan Toto, who reports this week that all the chatter about Nintendo branching out to mobile platforms is about to culminate in an announcement that will take place on Thursday.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. So let me get this straight. Nintendo's going to have a major announcement on Thursday. Sony is going to have a major announcement on Thursday. Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a battle going on for the mind space right now between Sony
could
and Nintendo.
Could be interesting.
There.
Late in 2013, Nintendo executives revealed that the Mario Maker was, quote, experimenting with smartphones and tablets, though it will likely never publish full Nintendo games on mobile platforms. But Nintendo of America's president, Reggie Fils-Aimé, says Nintendo...
Get it right.
Fils-Aimé. It doesn't look right to me. I'm sorry.
Fils-Aimé. It's French. It means brotherly love.
Yeah. Said Nintendo is considering launching apps and smaller games that would aim to drive consumers to Nintendo's hardware.
See, it's not – no, that's not what people want. People don't want apps that are going to say, go buy Nintendo.
Right.
They want apps that are Nintendo. You know?
Right. No, it'll be interesting to see if they come up with something. They need to do something. I still think, you know, if they put all the Pokemon games out on Android and iOS for 99 cents each, they would have a yet another license to print money. And that's really all they'd have to do. Our favorite, your favorite and mine, Pachter, was saying that, you know, if they did just 10 games at 99 cents each and sold, you know, a million of them, that's $10 or $20 million. I mean, you know, it's a no-brainer. Why not go that route?
Paul will buy the first Legend of Zelda on a mobile faster than you can blink. Really, I mean, people are. And the thing is that, you know, what would also be a big leap as well is if they cleaned up their online and had accounts and had the eStore as an app.
Well, that won't happen because they have no concept of what to do with an online package.
Well, you never know. I mean, they might be outsourcing to people who do know what they're doing on that front.
Maybe. I would like to think so, but...
You know, the thing is that, you know, there's been a lot of chatter about Yoshida Iwata being asked to step down in the past week since we did our last...
Yeah, I've heard that as well, that you know, the amount of problems that they've had with the Wii U is demanding something more than just an apology and backpedaling.
Well, the thing is that Nintendo, for good or bad... is very retro, and they don't like change, you know?
Right.
And at some point, you do have to change. And they have changed in the past, you know? And I don't mean, you know, finally using a disc like they did with the GameCube. No, I mean actual upgrades. I mean, they did made major changes between the NES and the Super Nintendo, and I know you didn't like the Super Nintendo, but there were some significant changes between those two consoles, you know?
Well, yeah, you went up to a 16-bit platform and you increased your sound capability and so on and so forth.
Yeah, not only that, but, you know, they just made things seem different with that console, you know? Even more so than they did with Nintendo 64. So, yeah, what do you think they're going to be announcing anyway?
On January 30th? Mm-hmm. It's hard to say. You know, I really don't see them making any kind of major move into mobile.
Move into mobile, according to the rumor. Yeah. I mean, at least major enough that they have to hold a press conference.
My guess is it will be something involving the Wii U tablet. There will be some new app thing for the Wii U tablet that will enable, you know, better a larger number of classic games to be played on the Wii U tablet.
Oh, watch, it's going to be another voting channel.
A voting channel, or, you know, some sort of, you know, they're going to give away 28-bit games on the tablet or something. You know, it will be a minor announcement, but that everybody who follows Nintendo will go, oh, that's
it. But it's mobile, though. It has nothing to do with the tablet, though. It's something to do with mobile. The thing I'm worried about is it's just going to be a way that you can now we're going to be advertising on mobile or something, you know, sort of like an advertisement disguised as an app. You know, basically the message is that Apple
go buy a Nintendo Wii U. Purchases.
What?
Dr. Mario with in-app drug purchases.
Okay, then. Anyway, we're going to move on to the next item. Kerbal Space Program lands on various schools' curriculum and discussed us from Eurogamer. Teacher Gaming brought a classroom-friendly version of Minecraft to schools. Now the company has expanded its repertoire by partnering with a second indie development to use its game for educational purposes. That game is Kerbal Space Program, an aerospace engineering sim that serves as a natural evolution to the good old bottle rocket. I wouldn't quite say that, but okay. Teacher Gaming is working with Kerbal Developer Squad on an education-themed mod for the game entitled Kerbal Edu, which will make it more conducive to a classroom environment. This will include an improved UI for easier data gathering and summary, pre-made lessons that focus on certain constructions, the options to use a metric system, and a robust pedagogy that includes information outside the game that ties into its content. No release date has been announced for Kerbal Edu, but it's said to be in the quote-unquote early stages of development. In the meantime, Teacher Gaming is selling the ordinary Kerbal Space Program licenses at a reduced price available only to educators. Those in the industry will be able to purchase Kerbal for PC, Mac, and Linux for $17 instead of the usual $27. Additionally, teachers can purchase 25 licenses for $330, making it only $1,320 per copy. Those who purchase the untailored version of Kerbal Space Program will now receive the Kerbal Edu mod at no additional charge upon its release. So, I didn't even know there was a classroom version of Minecraft, actually.
I did not know that either.
Now, are you familiar with Kerbal Space Program?
Never heard of it.
Okay. So this game is so advanced and so... Well, here's the thing. It's easy to use, but literally it turns you into a rocket scientist because it is so exacting in its calculations. And the thing is that when you send the rockets up, you have three Kerbals in it, these little green-skinned aliens, and they have... you try to get them to the Mune. It's MUN, the Mune.
The Mune.
Yeah. And people have done some incredible stuff with it, you know. And you're trying to get them to the Mune and back. And the funny thing is that a lot of times you're going to just crash and burn. And one of the fun parts of it is watching your Kerbals react. One of them's always ecstatic no matter what's going on. The other one is always panicked no matter what's going on. You know, they all panic when the rocket goes to blow up. And the thing is, the Kerbals don't die of starvation or anything like that. So sometimes you get them stranded in space, and they're just stuck in their spaceship orbiting the sun or something. You know, you can't get them back. They're just there for the duration. They wish
the video game equivalent of Apollo 13.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is that the game is so advanced that actual NASA engineers play it. You know, because it's so accurate. So the thing is that, you know, and getting back to the wider application, we've come full circle, haven't we, with video games now being at least modified a little bit to teach.
Well, that's true. And video games have always been used to teach since the Oregon Trail days.
Oregon Trail, yes, I know that. But I'm just saying, you know, the more advanced they get.
Yeah. My uncle actually wrote a 3D wheelchair simulator for NASA way, way, way back in the day, in the early days of Mac.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But honestly, you should check out videos of Kerbal Space Program. It's one of the biggest things right now. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see how they incorporated Minecraft into an educational program. I mean, it's building, I guess, but I don't know.
Minecraft is basically, you know, computerized Lego.
Yeah, but still, in educational purposes, I mean, they're not a kindergarten here. Or maybe we are. We just don't know. I'd have to look it up. But it's, you know, do you see a future for this in taking popular video games and altering them for, you know, because, like I said,
I think the next step is integrating video games into an educational purpose. We already see this happening in higher education, colleges and so on and so forth, is, using video game narration as a literary source. And going down the line not of video game as technical application, but video games as art and an analysis of that art. That'll be the next logical step.
What strikes me is I wonder how many people are now getting into computer science because of computer games.
Oh, I expect tons of people.
And the thing is that they start making it and they just find that they're better at doing, more mundane computer science stuff.
Right, right.
So, I mean, then they're getting into your territory, which is IT.
That's true.
What are you doing now in IT?
I am working for a fairly decent sized post-startup company doing technical support and assisting in email marketing.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Jordan.
Sony's credit rating cut to junk. This comes to us from gamesindustry.biz. PS4 performance not enough to convince Moody's that Sony's stock is worth investment. Moody's Investors Service has cut Sony's credit rating to junk over its continuing struggles to make money in a number of its business units. Sony's rating has been lowered from Baa3 to Ba1, which is one level below investment grade. While Moody's described its outlook for the company as quote unquote stable, the move will be discouraging for potential investors and may increase the cost of borrowing money. While Sony has made progress in its restructuring and benefits from continued profitability in several of its business segments, it still faces challenges to improve and stabilize its overall profitability and in the near term to achieve a profile that Moody's views as consistent with an investment grade rating, Moody's stated in a statement released today. Of primary concern are the challenges facing the company's TV and PC business, both of which face the intense global competition, rapid changes in technology, and product obsolescence. Sony's profitability is likely to remain weak and volatile. We expect the majority of its core consumer electronics businesses, such as TVs, mobile digital cameras, and personal computers, to continue to face significant downward earnings pressure. Moody's did acknowledge the likelihood of an increase in profitability for Sony's games business, but, quote, not to the extent seen with the profitability level in 2010. With so much attention focused on console sales, it's easy to forget that both Sony and Microsoft have extensive businesses outside of the games market. This is still an issue for Sony in particular because as well as the PlayStation 4 has performed, it may not be enough to counterbalance the long-standing problems elsewhere. In October last year, partial gains in Sony's games division were subsumed by the bigger picture, the company cutting its net profit forecast for the year by 40%.
You know, I was just thinking, it'd be funny if Sony just became a Japanese insurance company after all this. You know, the thing is that people forget also that you also have Sony Pictures. And I'm wondering, has Sony Pictures mm-hmm. been doing well? I don't know.
Sony Pictures has not been doing well. I think Sony Pictures' future really depends on how Amazing Spider-Man 2 does, which is coming out here in a couple months. I'm not getting good
vibes from Spider-Man 2 at all.
Huh?
I'm not getting good vibes from Spider-Man 2 at all.
I'm getting better vibes from 2 than I did from the last one. The last one was just terrible.
Well,
this one, at least they got the suit right.
You see any? It's sort of like Sony and the PS4 is like a Nintendo and the 3DS or something, you know? in that it's trying to support a platform that's not working, in this case the Vita and the Wii U.
Yeah. If they do a top-down audit of Sony, right, the first thing that's going to go is their 3D TV business, which has just been a colossal failure. All of the 3D TVs have failed miserably, and the Bravia TVs right at the head of that list.
I guess Vios haven't been selling well either.
Well, I you know, the Vio machines have always been solid machines, but I don't think they really have anything to distinguish themselves at this point. And, you know, there's not – the business users don't go for a Vio laptop because it's considered too consumer. The consumers aren't buying the Vio laptop because they're getting iPads and other tablets.
Yeah, here's the thing. I wonder if Sony's going to go all in on 4K.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where they go with it. I mean, the early 4K sets that I've seen live in person around here have all been Sony machines. So
yeah, but you know They made a heavy push on 3D TVs, right? I'm wondering if they're going to do the same push, or if they're going to realize that the 4K is going to be for the boutique, customer. You know, they really do well with their $20,000, $30,000 video cameras, right? Which are not intended for mass market. They're intended for the upper echelon, sort of like Alienware, you know, with their high end computers, you know. They're there for the people who really want the cutting edge, but they're not planning to, you know, mass sell it and make a profit that way.
Well, the problem with the 4K TVs is the same catch 22 that 3D got caught up in, is that nobody's going to buy them until there's content, but nobody's going to make content for them until people are buying them.
Mm. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, going from regular standard def to high def is the same thing as going from VHS to DVD. There is a notable difference. But on my TV, I really can't tell even the difference between 720p and 1080p because the screen isn't that big.
Well, it depends on the screen size and how close you are
discerning.
And how close you are to it, right? I my television is on the way out. So when it comes time to replace it, I'll probably replace it with the 4K set.
Oh, but I think Samsung, I've got it. By the way, I did see a Samsung 32-inch TV that was 1080p for $300, which is mighty attractive.
Oh, what would I do with a TV that tiny, though?
It's not that – for my room, it's not tiny. I'll tell you about, you know, just a very inexpensive 1080p. But I will say this, you know, I'll be right there if Sony starts – you know, remaindering its 3D TV stock, you know.
Yeah. Now you need to come visit out here in Oregon, where we got all these great big huge open spaces.
I've been there, done that. Maybe not in Oregon, but you notice I didn't say Oregon. I said Oregon.
You did not say Oregon. Yes, we have not gone anywhere
yet. We don't have any mail this week, so we didn't have any questions for us to answer. But you can look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with the industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast, and the forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum, or send us your comments to fans@GamingPodcast.net. You can also check out our gaming news at GameStudio.com. Also, subscribe to iTunes and leave some iTunes comments. And look for Paul's new game, Team USA's Pinsanity, which is on Facebook. Oh, and by the way, from what I understand, the Sochi Olympics have been a disaster right now.
Had they even started? I thought they didn't start yet.
But the thing is that not only is there always a threat of violence because of terrorism, but the accommodations are awful.
Oh, dear.
Russia's in deep debt. You know, did you see this at one of the locations? They had bathroom stall, two toilets in the same stall. You have to be really friendly.
Sharing is caring.
To do number two with somebody else in the same stall.
That's hilarious.
So anyways, we'll see you next week. Hopefully Paul will be here. I'm going to see what his availability is.
Oh, worst case scenario, you know, we can rope in my wife or Alan or somebody.
I guess. Anyways, thanks for listening in this week, and we'll see you next week.
Good night, everybody.